Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
your
has been declined.
Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
Checks left. 2 weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio for Saturday, August 8th, 2009. We are broadcasting live from the Log Mahal in Payson, Arizona. It is about 15 degrees cooler than those folks that are sitting in Phoenix right about now. So we're enjoying our weather here. And thank you for joining us. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, this Saturday and every Saturday at 10 a.m., we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program, and we talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of financial independence. And that's going to be part of today's broadcast, because today our key is take emotion out of the picture. Before we go any further in today's broadcast, I wanted to take a moment. It is a bittersweet day here in the Wagenhall's household, and I just wanted to dedicate today's broadcast to my husband's mentor, Al Eckers. Al influenced my husband in his formative years and took him under his wing and taught him everything he needed to know about sales and business, and inspired my husband to work really hard to earn the respect of this man. And my husband worked his entire life just to get to that point, to hear him say, "You did a good job." And fortunately, it came before today. And I just wanted to take a moment and remember him and dedicate this broadcast, because he, like so many others throughout our country, travel all over to make in-person sales calls. And he epitomized the traveling salesman. And he had a system that he had in place, and his success formula, he worked at it every day. And it was something that my husband looked up to and admired. And so I just wanted to dedicate today's broadcast to one of the most successful men that my husband knew. I unfortunately didn't have the privilege of knowing him, but Al Eckers left a major impact in many people's lives, and my husband was one of them. So I wanted to dedicate this week's episode to Al. So thank you for your success and your inspiration and the legacy that you have left with my husband. Today we have an incredible show for you. I know I usually say we have an amazing show, but I thought I'd change it up a bit, because we always work so hard throughout the week to bring you the best show possible. So that is always our goal and intent. And I always say, oh, it's going to be a great show today. And I don't have the guts to play a joke on you, although maybe if we have an April Fool's broadcast, I can say, oh, we're going to have a really crappy show. Turn the radio off now. But we have a spectacular show. Take emotion out of the picture is our key for this week, and boy, we are clipping through them again. We only have a few weeks left in our Summer of Savings campaign, and we have some great guests. We have Dave Vanderwally, and he is going to be our Investor's Edge guest, and he's going to speak specifically to our real estate professionals and talk about how to incorporate social media and go to the next level to serve your clients. We also have for our key guest Adele Tartaglia, and she is an avatar master wizard, and she specializes in teaching people about human consciousness, and she's going to help us learn how to dissociate our emotions when it comes to making some financial decisions. She's a doctoral candidate, and she does seminars all over the world, so we're excited to have her on our second half of the broadcast. As always, we will have our regularly scheduled segments, the Millionaire Minute, and Alyssa Wagenhals will be joining us in the second hour for Keys for Teens, as well as the infamous Karen Gurm. She's back in the saddle. No more vacations for her. It's nose to the grindstone till the holidays. And she'll be bringing you your stock market update in News by the Numbers. We have minutes on your money, and we have a couple of really fun things to talk about. I always like to change things up, and we are going to have financial tips from our founding fathers. How about that for some alliteration on a Saturday morning? Financial tips from our founding fathers. So it'll be exciting to go through those. Also, we have an incredible trivia question for the week. I'm excited to bring this one to you. If you are chatting in our chat room, you can try to win the great prizes we have for our trivia question that way, or you can simply call in to win at area code 718-508-9002, 718-508-9002, and if you correctly answer the question, you can win an autographed book from one of our featured guests. And we also have financial coaching, a 13-week financial coaching we offer from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. So not only will you be able to have a fabulous book, but you will be able to have the guidance, the accountability, and the fast track for success with your Keys to Riches program and your personal endeavor toward financial independence if you are the correct caller with the right answer. So we will look forward to taking your trivia question answers later on in the broadcast. Pardon me. But first, let's move forward with our Investor's Edge guest. Dave Vandewalle is chairman and co-founder of Social Media Realty Pro, and he's calling in today, all those F's got me, to demystify social media and social networking for real estate professionals. We're in uncharted territory with Web 2.0, and it's an interesting time professionally as a real estate broker, which I am here in Arizona, as well as, you know, a client, because when you go to buy real estate now, you have so many more options for information sources than you ever did before. And that's pretty huge if you think about it, because, you know, we always relied on real estate professionals to guide us because they're the ones that are in the trenches every day. They know the neighborhoods. They know what's going on, what values are where, different things with different builders, you know, structural defects. They're aware of what's going on in communities, and we've always looked to real estate professionals for our resource when it comes to make a home buying or a business, you know, building investment. And now they've gone to the web and they've been able to expand their knowledge base and their reach by communicating virtually. But some people, they haven't quite gotten on the bandwagon. Others have but aren't having success. And let me tell you, as someone who has a position in our company of social media manager, I have identified and recognized the importance of social media and what it plays in our lives today, because now with social media, we are reaching for alternative sources for news and information. We're not just going to our newspaper or turning on the television or radio to get our information. And that can be a daunting thing for clients and real estate professionals alike. So I would like for all of you to help me welcome to the broadcast Dave Vandewalle. Dave, welcome to the show.
It is great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. Wow, and that is quite a reception. How much do you pay? How much do you pay those folks for the applause?
They're all volunteers.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They're
well, hi everybody.
Usually, I get quite the crowd up here at the cabin. All of our neighbors come in, and I have to cook a big breakfast on the teppanyaki grill and ply them with food so they'll behave and say nice things about me when I'm recording.
Well, beautiful.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us this Saturday. I'm really excited about Social Media Realty Pro.
Well, thanks.
And I want you to share with us how you came up with the idea for real estate professionals to have their own social media venue, if you will.
Well, to start things off, it's not just me. There's a lot of information out there, but I'm one of these entrepreneurial guys by nature. And earlier this year, I met in person with someone I've been interacting with through social media channels over the past several months, a guy by the name of Ryan Winia. And so Ryan and I were both sort of working on parallel tracks to come up with something like this to help realtors. And Ryan's background is that he was at one point with the Exit Group in suburban Chicago. And then I am, the story I like to tell is that I'm the only one in my family of five that does not have a real estate license, but it's in my blood. My dad, up until he passed away, was the head of his own residential real estate brokerage, and my mom has inherited that the mantle, and both of my brothers own licenses, and my sister-in-law has one as well. So this has always been an area of interest for both Ryan and for myself, the real estate universe, but then zeroing in specifically, I've spent the last several years working on social media, social technology, social networking for a variety of companies. And the biggest thing I saw here was an opportunity to drill home the message to the real estate community that your personal brand is so vital in this economy, especially in this economy, and that the best way to tell that personal brand story to as many people as possible is through social media. And the interesting thing about it is that we don't focus as much on the technological tools like MLS and Zillow and Trulia. We don't focus in so much on those because we think that telling the personal story for real estate professionals is so much more important than, because listings will come and go. But relationships with people who either want to sell the house or want you to help them find a house to buy, those are going to stay. And it's social media for a reason. So that's kind of what helped germinate the seed for us in launching this, is the power of the personal brand and bringing social media tools to the real estate community.
Branding is essential. And I know that all too well. When I started out in mortgages, I was trying to differentiate myself from the rest of the mortgage people. What did I have that was different from them? Well, nothing. We all have the same tools. We all have access to the same piles of money. What would make me different? How do I set myself apart from the rest? And so I came up with a clever byline, and I was the mortgage goddess. And I tell you, when I haven't run into people still today that I haven't seen in 4 or 5 years that don't realize I've made the jump, are all of a sudden, hey, mortgage goddess. And it's funny because that's a brand I built well over 10 years ago, but it's still stuck.
And that's great for you. And one of the things that you know, so it sounds to me like you inherently get it. And I think that's the other thing about realtors that both Ryan and I saw as we were launching this, is that inherently they do get it. They do understand that the persona and branding is so very important. My dad, you know, with the Vandewalle name is not insanely common in the world, but there's a few of us in northern Indiana where my dad spent all of his 65 years. And it took the rest of us a lot of lobbying to get him to the point to say, you know what, working for the other groups, and he had been working with franchisees from a number of the different chains for a long time. We finally convinced him in 2005 that, you know what, the value here, Dad, is with your name. It's Vandewalle. The fact that you are now synonymous with people. You see, Dad built his business over time. I mean, and you know, he was in real estate for 25 years or so. And the way he built his business was because he was in the community for so long. He knew everyone. It became this ginormous referral network of people that he golfed with, that he was a member of the Knights of Columbus with, or myself and my brothers, all of our friends that we grew up with, decided, hey, I need a house. Who do I call? Oh, well, let's call Tom. Let's call Tom Vandewalle. So that was one of the things that we were able to drill home with Dad 4 years ago when he decided to branch off on his own, was that, you know what, the value here is you. And when you think of brand, you think of the people or the experiences that are attached to people, places, and things. And that's how we like to define brand. And whether you like it or not, Mortgage Goddess, Heather, whatever you're called, when people see you, they have a connotation. And I'm betting that part of the reason that Mortgage Goddess stuck was, you know, a little bit of the savvy branding, and it's clever and all that. But I'm going to guess you built a reputation of actually servicing clients, finding them good rates, and following through and executing. So when people see you, the connotation is, I'm going to guess it's positive. It's got to be positive enough for them to say, hey, Mortgage Goddess, how are you? And that is the thing that as we like to joke, that my dad built a brand over 25 years of real estate, and social media now can allow you to build a brand over, I would say, 25 days. It's definitely shortened the attention span, but also the time frame for the end user, the consumer, to find the right realtor to work with.
Oh, agreed. You can really collapse time frames by establishing your brand through social media. And that was one of the things when we really started to move forward with marketing the broadcast here and to really create awareness of our brand and what we were doing, is we assigned a social media manager. So we had someone making sure that we were always at the cutting edge in front of everybody else, making sure that we were timely with the right information and we were personable. And that was one of the things that made the difference when, you know, I was working in mortgages, and I branded myself as the Mortgage Goddess. But what I found was there was a better niche than just going after all the A-paper deals like everybody else was, the perfect, you know, 20% down, perfect credit, you know, all of that stuff, great reserves. And so I went after the market where the people had less than perfect credit, but they had the income, they had the ability, but maybe they had made some mistakes in the past. And instead of sticking them into a subprime loan, I would put them in my home buyers club, and on Saturdays I would teach these classes for free just so I could cultivate clients, because I know that while I need to do a mortgage today, I needed to do one next week, next month, and next year. And so I was seasoning my clients so they – and because I knew mortgage underwriting guidelines, I knew exactly what they needed to do and how they needed to do it in order to get themselves where they wanted to go. And those that were willing to work at it and be committed to their own success were the ones that were going to be able to have the quality mortgages. And those people, when I would help them, they would tell all of their friends. And I can't tell you, I don't know how any of the others mortgage professionals networked, but I had never been invited to more quinceañeras or bar and bat mitzvahs and family gatherings at holidays by my clients, because I made such an impact in their lives and I helped them establish the foundation for their family's future, which was a home that they could call their own. And that's, you know, the shtick, you know, opened the door with Mortgage Goddess. Well, what does that mean? And I couldn't help everybody. I mean, some people were beyond help with some of their issues. And, you know, I'm like, I would say, look, I'm a goddess, not a magician. I've got the immortality thing in the bag, but, you know. But I worked really, really hard to differentiate myself and provide an unparalleled level of customer service. And that took years to develop because I started in the 90s doing
wow.
that. And now with social media, I mean, we have worked within 6 months. We have made this radio show one of the number one most popular shows in the wealth category on Blog Talk Radio. And we did that because we were able to saturate the market with our message. And social media allowed us to get that out there that much faster.
And, you know, it's funny that you mention that because you're touching on a couple of the things that when we talk to realtors, we like to hammer home as well. Number one, it's not about you, but it is. And the power of all these social media tools that are out there enables you to kind of think short, medium, and long term. So just like you were working on tomorrow's mortgage paper, but then had to aim a few months and then a few years down the road, that's what we also suggest to realtors is start building your social network. Start doing it now, even if you don't have any listings. Because really, at the end of the day, if you are seen as someone that provides good quality information, seen as someone that is trustworthy, and is somebody that someone's going to want to do business with, you then become top of mind when that opportunity comes up. So if you think of all of the times you got invited to go to different events because of your in-person referral network, envision social media as the virtual version of the social network. But the other thing that I would like to impart upon the listeners is just how important it is to focus on content. And that's another powerful thing that social media can do for everybody. As opposed to location, 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 we like the phrase repurpose, repurpose, repurpose. And the value of all these social media tools is that you can take even the smallest message, even the tiniest article that you wrote or the picture of you at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, and get that out in a variety of formats and reach people where they are. We talk about the holy trinity of social media being Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And apologies to any religious folks or any Cajun chefs for borrowing that term. But it's important to realize that you can use, they're all channels that can help you repurpose this information that you've got. And it's important for realtors to start working on, you know, the non-sales network as well. And then you can start beginning the process of taking that one interview. And you know this. Well, this interview that we're doing now, it's going to live on.
Absolutely.
People can access it later.
Yeah, the live listeners is only a portion of the value of this show. We see way more downloads throughout the week.
And that's exactly the type of message that that we want to impart on realtors. Look, you're an expert in something. You're an expert in real estate, or if you want to get really niche, you're an expert in a certain neighborhood, or all of your clients come from a certain demographic, a certain place, a certain church, a certain club or association. Start leveraging that and use that to develop a variety of media that can get to people where they are. So if I'm the type of a person who enjoys downloading podcasts, then you've got, you know, create some audio for those folks. Talk to them about the neighborhoods. Talk to them about some of the trends that you've seen over the last 10 or 20 years in the neighborhood. But if I'm not a person who listens to podcasts, do a video. You can do a video very quickly. In fact, one of the cooler tools that's come out recently called 12 Seconds. You can introduce different vignettes in 12-second increments. Introduce your Twitter post, your blog post, whatever, in 12 seconds. It's 12seconds.tv. And, you know, the content that you've got at your disposal just by being in the industry is what is really going to get you top of mind with those who are looking for a house today and those who are looking for a house in 5 years.
And it's really important, I think, that people... we just had a great conference call with Peter Schenkman, and it was all about social media and the message. And they listed a ton of things to get started and directions to go in and to create a plan. How would you recommend a real estate professional make a plan? Maybe they're not tech savvy, but they're willing to learn. What would be the first steps that you would ask them to do to get started?
Very, very basically, start with Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And the advantage of these three is that there's a real-time, there are three different channels. They're very distinctly different, but you don't have to have a lot, you don't have to invest a lot of time to get rolling. Twitter is the real-time conversation engine, and you can find people who are interested in real estate and start following them and see what they say and interact in conversations. You can spend 15 minutes a day doing that and start having some success once you get to know how Twitter operates and what sort of messages are shared and how it's, you know, not seen as a real-time sales engine. It's more of a real-time conversation engine. With Facebook, I recommend just start playing around on Facebook. Facebook is it's a party. It's a social event. People want to see that you're active and engaged and out in the community and doing stuff, and you've got a family, you've got friends, you're dating someone, you're married, whatever it is. People want to see that stuff's going on with you and that you're a good guy or a good gal. That's another 15-minute-a-day exercise. And with a lot of these tools, you can upload your contact list, and they'll send a message out to everybody saying, hey, Joe Slobotnik would like to invite you to become his friend on Facebook. When we talk about LinkedIn, that is probably as the third pillar of this holy trinity of social media for real estate. We talk about LinkedIn in much more of a business-focused setting because it is. It's a business network. It's more of a network than a social media party platform like Facebook. Yeah, but that what's important there is to start tapping in on Facebook to your non-sales network. And by that I mean don't go looking for contacts from people that you've sold houses to immediately as you're getting rolling on LinkedIn. Don't look for those that you've listed houses for. Don't do that just yet. I would begin my focus as a real estate professional on finding everyone else who touches the real estate process that I've worked with and that I like working with. Get the appraisers, get the mortgage professionals, get the pest control professionals, get the title company people, get anybody involved in a bank who's done a thorny mortgage with you. Get all of those people and invite them to join your contact network on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is also a great spot for you to answer questions. There are some of the networks within LinkedIn have tens of thousands of members who talk about real estate topics. You'll find a lot of people are pushing their listings there, so you have to kind of navigate your way through that. But there will be invariably somebody who will ask a question about something just basic or something that you see as being basic, and here's the opportunity for you to start making some noise about your expertise. Somebody could say, I haven't met an ARM that I like lately. Well, hey, you're a real estate person, but you can recommend someone in the mortgage profession that has helped you recently with something like this. And that's, I don't want to oversimplify it, but if you're a realtor and you're just getting started in social media, if you think about Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and you plan on investing about 15 minutes on each per day as you're getting rolling for the first 30 days, I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to have breakthrough success, but you're going to start making some noise, making some connections, and having some conversations.
That's a great starting point. Now, you know, we had the social media evangelist Stephen Groves on the show last season, and he spoke of kind of do's and don'ts. And there's a few other, like, real estate-specific networking opportunities, but what would you say is netiquette for social media for real estate professionals? Because ideally we don't want to mix our personal and our business, because I've seen some people, you know, in complementary industries that I've connected with on Facebook, and they have public views, and they have, you know, really controversial things on their Facebook that, like, their friends would be interested in if they were a bunch of party people, but, you know, other colleagues or real estate professionals might feel like, they're making inappropriate decisions or ineffective decisions in their personal life. Does that bleed over into their professional life? So can you give us some netiquette kind of pointers with regard to what to put on those types of social media outlets?
Absolutely. One of the things that you want to be cognizant of is your mom is watching. And we used to like to say about Twitter, don't tweet anything that you wouldn't want your mother to see on a billboard.
Because, I like that.
And that puts it in perspective. If she's driving by the main thruway and sees a billboard with your tweet on it, is it going to be something that you would be proud for her to see? Now, Facebook, people want to see that you're social and want to see that you're a good guy or a good gal. But, yeah, you do want to use a little bit of caution. You know, the old adages about, you know, politics and religion and those sorts of things. I would not at all advocate that you do not have views. In fact, one thing that we like to tell people is have a point of view, because if you don't stand for something, you're going to stand for anything. And it's okay, you know, I think it's okay at the end of the day for me to say, well, that person is of this political party and I am of that political party, but they look like a good guy or a good gal.
Now, that's not the things that I take issue with, because I'm very opinionated and I don't have a problem wearing my personal opinions on my sleeve. But if I'm drinking and carousing and probably doing inappropriate things, I'm probably not going to put those photographs up. That's kind of what I'm talking about, questionable content, you know, content. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, I would avoid anything that you would not want to have your family see. I would keep that off of Facebook. You know, there's a famous story in the Twitter circles about a communications professional who worked at the time, might still be there, for a large public relations firm in Chicago. And this individual happened to post on Twitter that he was heading into a town that he would not be caught dead living in. Well, it so happens that he, right after that tweet went out, showed up at a meeting in Memphis with a large client. The client did not take kindly to that fact. And in fact, they ended up, well, they were not very happy with him or with his company after that. So you do need to be mindful, I would say, and this goes beyond just the real estate industry, but the comments about where people live and those sorts of things definitely are ones to avoid. From a netiquette standpoint, one of the biggest questions for realtors that comes up that we get specifically focuses in on LinkedIn and what seems to be a proliferation of realtors posting listings and links to listings on LinkedIn. And that's sort of a, you got to separate the wheat from the chaff type thing. Mm-hmm. I happen to not be offended by that because it is a business network. I don't think it is akin to blasting an email to everyone in your contact list saying that you're selling a house in Toledo when no one in your contact list is in Toledo.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, it does not bother me as much. And when we counsel clients and members of the Social Media Realty Pro Network, that's what we say. You know, use these as engines for promoting your listings, but take a step back in general and remember that you are promoting yourself. So stick with a consistent message about who you are, what you stand for, and the type of work that you do in real estate. And have that be the thing that shines through. So you're not going to want to post pictures of yourself drinking a lot or out carousing or partying or whatever. You want to maintain a good professional image. And I would also caution against, from an etiquette standpoint, I would caution against being one of these people who post pictures of yourself showing how successful you are. You know, how many cars you drive, things of that nature. That normally does not go over very well either. Everything's got to be a win-win. I mean, everything has got to be this is my public image, and I want you to see that at the heart, I keep coming back to this, I'm a good guy or I'm a good gal, and I'm the type of person that wants to help you. And I think we can find some common ground together. And that is where the power of social media really comes in for real estate professionals.
All right. I want to take a break right now. We have to give some big ups to our sponsors here for a moment. But I want to talk about some of these different real estate-specific social networks. I'm thinking of Active Rain in specific, where a lot of people come on as experts and they're citing information or they're requoting information from less than credible sources. And I wanted to talk to you about what you thought of that and how do you avoid getting caught up or hung up with those people. And I guess it's probably more of a conversation of, again, separating the wheat from the chaff. But I'd like to pick that up right after our commercial break here. And I want everybody to sit tight because we have more of Dave Vanderwally right after this.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Fabulous Saturday, August 8th. I'm Heather, your hostess with the Financial Mostest, and we are having a conversation with Dave Vanderwally about social media and real estate. Welcome back to the broadcast, Dave.
Hey, thanks. This is big fun.
Oh,
I'm really enjoying this.
Well, we work to make a comfortable, enjoyable learning environment for our listeners. So I'm glad you're getting the vibe and excited. So let's talk about active rain. I went on and I was pretty strong at first. You know, I've been a columnist for a very long time, writing on a variety of topics, of which real estate and mortgage finance were probably the two most important topics I felt like I wrote on. And I would post some things, some comments and questions, and put the answers on from some of that stuff. And then I would look around as I would surf around and check out other people's profiles and see what they were saying and different comments. And, you know, I just – that particular venue and I haven't been on in like 6 or 8 months just because I just got wore out by everybody. You know, whenever I would say something, all of a sudden they would zing me back with a pitch for whatever it was they were selling. And it was almost like they weren't even listening to what I just said because they were trying to sell me something that I was bagging on, if you will, a particular mortgage product or financial instrument that was not good for the people. And then all of a sudden I would get 20 of those people, like, trying to sell me that stuff. Like, I needed it. And I'm like, did you not just read my last post? And I always wondered how people were able to, you know, like, do they just do keyword searches and come up with stuff and then try to hawk their stuff? I think that it was so insincere. And, you know, I mean, it might have changed by now, but my experience with Active Rain was that it was very insincere. And how do you, like, come off with sincerity? You know, how do you be who you are and address things, but still make sure that you've got an underlying message that you're communicating? How do we do that? How do we be genuine, I guess?
Well, one thing, Heather, that's a great point that we want folks to understand is we came up with the Social Media Realty Pro concept, the coursework, the membership site, so that realtors can make connections with the community, with the buying public. And while I've heard some great stories from folks making connections on ActiveRain, I would put that into the category of a closed network. If you are in the real estate profession or touch the real estate profession and you want to find someone else in the real estate profession or who touches the real estate profession, ActiveRain is a great spot to do that. But I don't think it is the place for real estate people to find Joe or Jane down the road who wants a house. And that is when we developed the course, and you know, we know that this entire subject of social media, especially for real estate, is a work in progress. We will be the first to admit that we do not have all of the answers. But what we've tried to do is synthesize it all into the context of how do you make a connection with the publics, the various publics that might be interested in working with you to get their next home. So, you know, there are different strategies for using an ActiveRain or any of the other realtor-specific closed networks that are out there than the ones that we talk about in the course, which are specifically for making that community-driven connection so that you're the person who's synonymous with real estate in the neighborhood, in the city, in the town, in the state in which you work.
Well, how does Social Media Realty Pro work? How does a real estate professional find you and get involved? When they go to your site?
So it's at socialmediarealtypro.com. And we have got it's basically a membership-driven program. So we developed this coursework, which we loosely based on the ePro concept of get this training. It's virtual training, and we've got it in.
I haven't finished my ePro, and I'm coming up on my 6 months.
and you know, ePro is a fine program. In our estimation, doesn't go deep enough into the social media component.
Well, it's a good introduction.
Yes, exactly.
To the internet and internet marketing. I think that it's a good thing. And they're supposedly developing a new module specifically for social media. But, you know, it's hard, unless you specialize in it like you guys do, to really stay on the cutting edge because it's still a work in progress, because it's ever-changing. You know, social media networks that were popular a year ago, people don't even, that are new to social media, have never even heard of them because they've come and gone.
Yeah, and so that's why we moved to a membership-driven program. And so what it is, the first week you can try everything out for $1, and then after that it's $99 a month. And we aim to give you all of our training in digestible chunks and in different formats. So back to, you know, if you're trying to connect with buyers, they may be audio people, they may be people who like to watch videos, they may be people who like to interact online, maybe they like to read something. We want to be able to train realtors in whatever format they learn best in. So what we do is give members access to the training materials, downloadable, listenable, podcasts, videos, you name it. We do it all on the site for a membership fee. But the other thing and we knew this going in when we developed the initial coursework, we knew that we were going to need to keep refreshing it. And rather than say, here's a big old book, replace the old book with this book, we thought it would make more sense to go to the membership program and then allow us to have special bulletin webinars or, hey, this new thing has just taken everybody by storm. And we also did not want to sort of cram different tools down people's throats. And I know that in northern Indiana, where I grew up and where my family is in the real estate business, there's a certain, you know, there's a certain key box tool that goes with the Palm Pilot that everyone uses. So in this respect, for us to deliver iPhone-related applications and training probably doesn't make a lot of sense to everybody. But we know that the iPhone is very popular, and a lot of realtors are starting to use it more and more, but then there are BlackBerry people, et cetera. So what we've done is aim to make this a modular, constant learning environment in a membership format. And so far the response from folks we've talked to and signed up has been really, really positive.
That's great. Well, we're coming to the end of our time here. So if there was one thing that you would like to leave the real estate professionals listening with as far as social media is concerned, what would that one thing be?
It's the power of the personal brand, Heather. It is definitely the power of the personal brand. If you build your personal brand and are seen as a good person, your listings will not be as important. It won't be important if you have 3 listings or 30 listings or 0 listings, because if you are seen as the kind of person that people want to do business with and you're using the power of social media to tell a great personal brand story, you're going to get the listings. You're going to find the customers. You're going to sell the houses.
You'll just attract them. So, again, will you give out your website one more time if our listeners are interested in surfing over and checking out what you have for a dollar? It's a great deal.
Dollar for the first week. Yes, it's socialmediarealtypro.com. Socialmediarealtypro.com.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It was wonderful to have something specific for real estate professionals. We try to get both the customer of real estate, the real estate investor, and cover also our bases with providing great information on Investor's Edge for real estate professionals also actively working in the industry. So you fit the bill today. Thanks so much for stopping by on a Saturday and taking out part of your weekend to be with us.
Heather, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much. I appreciate what you guys are doing as service to the financial world and your listeners. It's just great stuff, so keep it up.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We still have lots more to come on the show. We will be coming back with News by the Numbers right after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches right after this.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Almost time for the second half of our broadcast, but not until we bring you our News by the Numbers. So please be prepared for what is coming up next. We will have Karen, who's been vacationing for a while, joining us to bring us this week's news and information on what's been going on in the stock market.
It's a need you gotta fill. It's news you gotta know. And news by the numbers is your favorite part of the show. Yeah.
Karen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Heather. That's a new introduction I haven't heard.
I've been holding that as a surprise for you.
It was a surprise and a wonderful surprise.
Yes, I was sad that I couldn't use it last week. I'm like, oh, man. For you, but I thought that would give you a little bit of humor in your life since you padded the survey on the blog.
I didn't pad it, Heather. Everybody loves News by the Numbers. It's the best segment of the whole show.
Well, I think the fact that you bombed your entire address book and said, vote for me, probably helped. Helped to make it the most popular segment.
I can't help. Just give people what they want.
I love it. All right. Enough. Tell us about the week.
Well, this week's stocks jumped to best levels since October, reports Charlie Blaine from MSN Money. I know. Stocks finished this week at their highest level since last fall as a big rally erupted, prompted by a much better-than-expected report on unemployment and jobs. The jobs report generated speculation that one of the worst recessions since World War II was near-ending. Today, we're pointed in the right direction, says President Obama. The jobs report showed unemployment at 9.4% and the economy shed 247,000 jobs. Economists warn that a recovery, and especially a jobs recovery, is likely to be slow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 114 points, or 1.2%, to 9,370. The Standard & Poor's 500 index was up 13 points, or 1.3%, to 1,010. The NASDAQ Composite Index added 27 points, or nearly 1.5%, to 2,000. Today's finishes were the best of the year for the Dow and the S&P 500. The week also saw the first close above 1,000 for the S&P 500, since the week of September 29th, 2008, and the first close above 2,000 for the NASDAQ since the week of September 22nd. The Dow and the S&P hit new intraday highs during the session. The Dow had been up as many as 181 points before profit-taking set in, especially among financial stocks. Bank of America, which had been up as much as 2.6%, fell back to a 1.7% loss to $16.42 as more than 380 million shares changed hands. And that is your News by the Numbers. I am Karen Durham.
Why, thank you for that fabulous report, and it's nice to have you back. We all missed you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Now, we have, I think our next guest is all ready to go. So, I want to take some time here, and we're going to do minutes on your money in a little bit, but let's see if Adele is ready to be a part of the broadcast. Our key guest this week, as you know, our key for the week is take emotion out of the picture. And Adele Tartaglia is our guest to help us learn how to dissociate our emotions when it comes to making financial decisions. With 30 years of concentration in theology, philosophy, metaphysics, and mind-body therapies, Adele's alternative integrative medicine and spiritual healing is the mainstay of her practice and her books. She facilitates workshops with a mission to assist in the self-empowerment process. Her mind-body-spirit studies have produced several books, among of which Life is What You Make of It, Understand Your Mind, Understand Your Life, Gifts from the Father, and Principles of Causality, and the Molly Magee Adventure Series. So everyone, please help me welcome Adele to the broadcast. Adele, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, very welcome.
That's very cute.
I wanted you to be appreciated by our in-studio, our faux in-studio guest.
Well, thank you. Okay, and you hear me fine, right?
Yes, you're coming across perfectly, Adele.
Oh, okay, perfect. So, as you said, I have a life management center, and I deliver courses throughout the world, and I do phone therapies, and basically I do clinical hypnotherapy, cognitive behavior, past and current life regression. And I created some deletion protocols, both emotional protocols, which would be relevant to today, and also belief system protocols and PTSD. And they work very quickly. They're easy, and they're permanent shifts. And you can always apply this to your beliefs about money, because everything is hinging on your beliefs and how it's creating your thoughts, your emotions, your words, and how that then outpictures as an event in your life. And you can ask me questions or I can talk. You tell me.
Well, we'll do a little of both. How about that?
That sounds good, honey.
Now, you were brought to me by one of the members of our Unlock Your Wealth Foundation and one of the young women that works with me at my real estate company. And she has been a big fan of yours. She's been to a bunch of your seminars. She was showing me all these books. You have to have her on. She's totally in line with what we do. And one of the biggest things that I have found that made a difference when I was doing financial coaching for folks was when I found neurolinguistic programming. And NLP does exactly what you just mentioned. It helps you make a shift when you identify what your limiting beliefs are and be able to reprogram yourself in a way that makes you congruent on the inside, so then your behaviors are what you desire them to be, not fighting constantly this internal battle of when you go to the store and you try to make choices. And based on our internal belief system, you know, they always win. That curmudgeon inside always wins. I always tell people you have to convince the curmudgeon of what you want in life, because otherwise he's going to do what he wants. And it's going to be based on your foundational beliefs. And these are things that we didn't really have control over, because the first 10 years of our lives, our belief system and values are established by our parents. And then our peers shape the rest of our value systems, or kind of complete that set, if you will, in your teenage period. So by the time you hit 18, 19, you're pretty well entrenched with your patterns that you're going to continue on with throughout your life. And whether or not you're successful is going to be dependent upon that, which had almost nothing to do with you growing up. It had everything to do with the people around you. So unless someone actively takes a role in changing their belief system and making a values adjustment, they're always going to be chronically sick, chronically ill, chronically broke, or chronically depressed, and they're never going to be able to get out of that cycle unless they make a shift. And what we know about most things in life is we have these big single-event learning experiences, and it's because it's in a peak state of high emotion. So when something catastrophic happens to us, in that moment, we make a shift. We observe, and based on our value system, we make a decision about that scenario, and then that information then gets deposited because it had a high level of emotion attached to it deep inside of us, and it will affect everything that we do from then on. So when we relate it to money, if you're, you know, a small 7-8-year-old boy, and then the next thing you know is that all of a sudden you are out on the streets and you're homeless, and all you hear is hear your father cussing and swearing up a storm about those greedy landlords throwing us out, you're going to start taking and making observations and decisions about that that are going to affect the way you make decisions down the road. Now, what the child probably doesn't see is that maybe his father was a drug addict or a raging alcoholic and didn't manage his money, and it was his fault that they got kicked out or were made homeless, but it's spun because of what his dad said, those greedy landlords. And so as a child, you make a decision, say, ooh, well, I don't want to be a greedy landlord. I don't want to have a greedy landlord. And they associate people that make real estate investment or that are landlords as greedy because of that one single event learning thing. All of a sudden, I had a bedroom to call my own, and now I'm in a cardboard box on the street hoping that we find somewhere else to live. And it's things like that, to illustrate an example of what I just shared, that really help establish our patterns. And then we can't undo those. And what happens is we take them forward. And this key this week about take emotion out of the picture is we get these entitlement mentalities. They come from the media. They come from our parents and our peers and everybody telling us we deserve something, whether or not we've earned it. We've got the media telling us we deserve something. And then we go out and we create these spending cycles or patterns that keep us perpetually indebted to someone else. And that's what I'd like to talk about with you today, because you have such a greater knowledge from a bunch of different angles, not just neurolinguistic programming, but you see how more that comes together when you talk about understand your mind. What goes into a mindset that can keep somebody enslaved to poverty?
Well, you know, there's lack consciousness beliefs and there's prosperity consciousness beliefs. And if you're trying to manifest, if you're trying to reformat your brain after the age of 21, by that time the brain is, the frontal lobes have, you know, are continuing to close and almost completely closed. So the brain finishes developing in young adulthood. But meanwhile, not only do we have just the programming from mom and dad and the modeling that they do as small children, we also have socialization. We also listen to our teachers, to our ministers, to the media. So we have many, and we have intergenerational beliefs that we get in the DNA the minute we're conceived, which account for like 51% of our beliefs. Now, the old paradigm that said that a child was formatted by age 7, give me the child and I'll give you the man, and that we can't change these beliefs and these feelings is just not true anymore. We actually have complete control over our thoughts, our traumas, releasement of all kinds of subliminal issues that are unresolved. We can actually take an active role in our life, stop creating our own reality and the reality that goes out into the world from default settings out of the subconscious mind. And 75% of the subconscious mind is negative. And as you mentioned, and this was a very good profile and overview you gave, most of what's in the subconscious mind, which is actually creating and attracting events to our lives, is not ours. It's programs and beliefs and conditioning from other sources. But as an adult, I feel it's incumbent upon us as responsible adults to look at our programming, look at our conditionings, look at the habitual thoughts we have and the emotional stances we go to automatically, everything coming from the subconscious being automatic rather than rational and intentional, and do something about the negative ones. Because not only are we impacting our own lives, we're modeling that for the next generation, our own children, and we don't want them to experience what we have. And we're also sending that energy into an aware universe. And we, because our minds are connected with all other sentient beings, everybody else on the planet, to some extent, is being highly influenced by our own thoughts and programs. And if we stay in negativity, because that's just the programming on the planet and has been for quite a while, that we're just contributing to the negativity on the planet, which is the opposite of hope that suffering can have, hope and faith that we can find peaceful resolutions, and that we can open up our hearts and start dealing from our hearts rather just from our minds and from the greed and the money and the power profile that we're operating out of. There's, you know, we can change everything on the planet by changing ourselves individually. And so there's certain protocols you can use to do this. In relation to the emotions and money, they're very important to the money issues in your life. The NIH, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but you sound like you're very well versed in all of it. The NIH did a 10-year study with Dr. Candace Pert, and she wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. And contrary to what most of us had thought for years, the basic premise is not only is it your thoughts that create after themselves in like kind, negative thoughts, negative events in your life, but your memories and emotions are actually attracting and creating your reality. And I won't get into the biochemical reason, but that's actually the truth. That was the result of their study. And as you said, when you have a single life major event, a life-turning event, and you have a learning experience from it, a big catastrophe, and you shift and you decide how you're going to handle that in the future, not only do you make decisions when you have a life-turning event, But you also, because of the impact of the emotions, which is the highest impact as far as memory retention in the subconscious mind, anytime you go through an emotional trauma in your life, you stop in that developmental stage. So if you got kicked out on the street like you were giving us an example of, at 15 years old, many, many people come to me because they can't move past that and they don't realize that they're still acting and believing and thinking from a 15-year-old perspective. So you get locked into that perspective. You get triggered back to it when you're making decisions in life, when you're discussing things with your partner, and you make decisions. Now, because you're so heavily emotionally and your feelings are so intensely involved in these catastrophic life-turning events, the rational mind kind of shuts down. You're either rational or emotional to some extent at one time. So if somebody, a lot of people come in for anger management, for financial issues, for relationship issues. And if you're so vested in your emotions and so caught up in them, your left brain, your rational analytical brain is not analyzing, it's not thinking, and it's not making intelligent choices that are weighing everything and making informed decisions. It's just not. It has shut off because you're caught in your emotions of fear, anxiety, hatred, anger, jealousy, any of the lower consciousness emotions. Perfectly normal, perfectly reasonable for human beings to experience for a while, but we have to catch ourselves and not format the rest of our lives based on those decisions. Because when you're emotionally distraught, 9 times out of 10 you make the wrong decision for yourself and for those around you. So the one of the key beliefs is we never make decisions when we're in an emotional crisis. That's just not the time to do it. You just shelve it until you've calmed yourself down, until you've been able to think about it, do a Ben Franklin, and think about it in a rational way, and then make a decision for yourself and your family. So, and you can interrupt me anytime you want to, but we all know that thoughts are creating and that emotions are creating our reality, and if you attach your emotions, as many, many of us do, to your financial prosperity or lack consciousness, then you're going to be, like I just said, you're actually going to be out of control. You'll be making irrational decisions based on feelings rather than on thoughts and on rationality about your financial future. And in addition to that, as you pointed out so well, we have modeling. Mom and Dad have their precepts. I'm 65, and both my parents went through the Depression, and Mother was always saying, there's not enough money. You can't do that because there's not enough money. And we have negative and positive beliefs that come from the modeling, the grandparents, the parents, the aunts and uncles. And those are beliefs. When we're children, we don't analyze beliefs. Everything goes into the subconscious like a program. It's like turning on a tape recorder with nobody to turn it off, and it runs all the time. From the moment we're conceived in utero, we hear and download every emotion, every thought, and every word around us in our environment. I often have to go back to in utero to delete gestational adaptations, to delete programs that children set up for themselves, like, for instance, oppositional to women, oppositional to men, and they stay there for the rest of your life. That's how much in utero programming takes effect in our life, permanent programs unless you go in there and tweak them. And
it's
so we see our parents.
Stuff, you know,
oh, God, it's terribly powerful.
It. And so many people that get stuck in their own programming, discount or don't really believe that because they, you know, and that's the biggest challenge is to be able to get somebody, unfortunately, to the point where they hit the wall financially and can't function, and then they're forced to make a change because in my experience that people don't change until the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same. And that's when people will make another shift. And when it comes to money, they'll just keep cruising along and keep cruising along thinking, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then until the rug gets pulled out, oh, I don't need that psychobabble. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I make decisions fine. Well, clearly you're a fine decision maker and you're exactly where you wanted to be. And then when they say,
mm-hmm.
well, no, and they say, but you just told me you were fine. And you're exactly
mm-hmm.
where you wanted to be because of the choices that you actively made. And then they kind of think, well, and then they start to question. And you got to get people to challenge their belief system. How do you bring someone who has all kinds of preconceived notions about life and, you know, they get in that, like, you know, well, you know, my father always did it that way and his father always did it that way. So
right.
It must be right. This is
right.
what my father
right.
did. This is what my mother did. And, how do you challenge their beliefs, and how do you get them to make a shift in their next pattern that they choose to use?
Well, a couple of things, and that's a good point that you just made too. Oftentimes, in addiction therapy, we call it bottoming out. But that's true with relationship therapy, with prosperity therapy, with any kind of therapy. People usually show up at my center, either on the phone or in person, or for me as a minister, when they have bottomed out. When that pain is, when their life is not working for them and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then they're desperate. And so, and then some people just come because they're in a state of awareness and they're kind of monitoring themselves and they're saying, well, that's not a healthy belief to have. And I've seen myself think that same thought 10 times in the last month. I should go and figure out how to change things. Then they come to a self-empowerment course. But when people have already come because, like you said, the pain is there, they know they can't continue, especially when it comes to not being able to support themselves or their families, not having a free flow of money into their lives. It is because they have multiple beliefs on multiple layers that are either in conflict with each other or they're definitely in conflict with the goals they've set for themselves financially and prosperity-wise. And those beliefs are hooked into four or five major areas of life. And so when they come in, they kind of, I don't have to challenge anything because they're sitting on the couch or on the phone. And I say, so let's, and I do an intake session. I let everybody free flow and just chat with me for a while. Then I check where they might have got the modeling and some of their basic beliefs. And they tell you everything that's going on in their life and exactly how they got set up for their experiences as an adult. It's right there in the intake session. And I just write down everything they say and then we start to work with it. And, but money issues are kind of like relationship issues in this way. They cover broad areas of your life. So if I notice that somebody comes in and says, traditional lack belief, okay, there's never enough money. It's hard to make money. It's hard to hold on to money. I'm not good with money. Money flows through my hands. I get my paycheck and it's gone the next day. I always have just enough money. The car breaks down and it's $300 to fix it. And yes, God is good and I'm a good creator. I created exactly $300. That's actually lack. That's lack consciousness. That's not prosperity consciousness. Prosperity. So what we try and do is take some of those universal mass conscious beliefs that they're saying that they have and we invert them. We put in the opposite polarity for a belief system. There's more than enough money. I always have more than enough money to take care of self and do some charity work, whatever I want to do. Money flows freely to me. People like to pay me for my services. Anything that's oppositional to what is not working, because all I have to say is the traditional statement, so how's that working for you? Oh, it's not. That's why you're here. And then I like to make everybody laugh when I'm working with them, and I kind of tell jokes. And then the truth of the matter and their programming comes right out of their mouth. And that's great because the more relaxed you can get somebody, and I have this little tweaking program I do that helps people to uncover what their subconscious beliefs are. So those are the ones that are really hanging us up. And so we just play games until we get all those on the table, and then we just start reversing them out. And I use actually a deletion protocol to do that. But what I was saying is not only is it beliefs about money, it's beliefs about money can be money is the root of all evil, which is not the quote from Scripture. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Only bad people have money. They must be doing something illegal if they have a lot of money. There's also beliefs about money itself. Only the greedy and power hungry are in control of the world and have money, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to clean those up as well as your personal beliefs for yourself. I don't do well with money. I just don't handle money well. I've never made a good living. I'm never going to make a good living. All of those have to go. And hooked into that and associated with it are your beliefs about yourself. Do you believe you deserve to have money? Do you believe you're competent enough to make money and to control money when you get it and to do astute financial planning? So all of those things, I have seen people with some pretty healthy beliefs about money that have a goal to have money. They've worked their steps backward. They set their goals. They did their they went backwards three steps and started to implement the steps for each program to make it manifest. All of that perfect, great, life alignment, goal setting, good stuff. And then they just can't seem to get, they keep getting fired. They can't hold jobs. The bank account's empty. Can't make those bills every month. And so then we start talking about the other areas of the life, the broad areas of life, health, finances, relationships, and self-esteem. Are any of those hooked in? Of course they are. They all are. So if you don't think you deserve money, if you have worthiness issues, you're going to sabotage yourself every time. You can be right on the ball as far as knowing how to set your goals and manifesting. You can be working really hard. You can be extremely intelligent. And one of the other areas of your life can still sabotage your production and your free flow of money to you. And from a broader perspective, prosperity is not just money. Wealth is not just money. It's having more than enough time, not just more than enough money, more than enough love. This is an abundant universe. This is in a universe where the Creator provided us with a complete interdependent, perfectly aligned, natural harmony and balance in nature itself. The laws of nature are the greatest evidence of the abundant universe. There are literally a million different kinds of plants and animals on, and they all interface with each other, and they all have their service so that they all stay in harmony and balance until man interrupts. But if you don't think it's an abundant universe, and if you start, if you're a gardener, for instance, which used to be my hobby, and you start reading the books and you say, oh, there's 968 species of philodendrons, you say, hello, how abundant can the universe be? There's all the cultures, there's all the races, there's, you know, I mean, it's beautiful, the harmony of the universe. I mean, there's all of mankind all over the planet, and we all have so much to offer each other, and such a blessing to give each other with our sacred text sharing and with our cultures and our customs and our histories. I'm also a regression therapist, so my belief is we've all been every race, lived in every culture, and experienced every kind of event from the highest to the lowest. And it just depends on what you set yourself up in between lives as to what you're going to experience from lifetime to lifetime. So, I mean, we are all one. So what's the big, you know, the biases and the prejudice to me just have no basis in reality at all. And even the diversity of cultures is complete abundance. That's a prosperous universe. Billions of galaxies. Hello. Billions of star systems. I mean, how abundant can you ask for it? So it's got to be an error. It's an error of consciousness in human thinking. It has nothing to do with reality or the universe or the way the Creator designed everything. I don't think so. Do you?
I agree. You know, it's, how do I say this? You know, I think that we are very arrogant as human beings to think that there's not enough or that we're the only ones here in the universe. I think we're very arrogant, and I think that that's probably where our downfall begins. Instead of coming to ourselves with humility and gratitude, we come with this arrogance, and I think that that's part of where it starts. And that's from that inner curmudgeon, that 75% negativity that we're already have inside of us that we have to work actively to control and to be in charge of. And we really need to focus on that abundance theory and say, I am worthy. I don't care what my mother said or what my uncle said or whoever made them in their single event learning circumstance take away their value, but you have to reinstate that value, and it's a constant battle. You know, it's not like a one-time thing. That's why when we do our affirmations every week, we're always adding new affirmations to the mix of our affirmations, because it's a work in process. And one of the things is repeated exposure does amazing things either way, positive or negative. And you can be as positive as you can and work on your affirmations, but if you stop, you're going to have somebody who's going to have negativity, and that repeated exposure of negativity is going to ebb away at your positive strength. And sooner or later, you're going to wear down if you're not constantly reinforcing that abundant theory, that belief that you're worthy of all things and that things are easy and they flow to you and through you.
Okay, so let me offer you a slightly different perspective that I have gathered for myself, and I kind of came to a lot of this at the age of 50 when I took a self-empowerment course and developed my own and started teaching it, because I used to believe all of this too, and I was a Unity Truth student and believed in new thought, you know, believed in the law of mind action, which we, you know, the new thought thinkers believe in things. I believed that until I was 52, and then I found a whole new program and developed another program. What if you didn't do affirmations, which I don't know whether you know about Unity Church and other New Thought churches, but it's about constant affirmations and denial. Okay, so instead of doing that, it's so much easier, more productive and permanent if you take a few minutes and you delete the underlying programs. There's convolutions on your brain, and they each have programs in them, and they're categorized, but I call them file folders. Suppose you have a file folder on prosperity in your brain, on money, prosperity, whatever you want to call it, and it's filled with all kinds of beliefs. And by the time we're 21 years old, the supposition from psychiatry and psychology is that you've had 25,000 hits, negative and positive, that went into the money folder in your brain. This is just an example. So rather than try and conflict with those, put a new track over the top of those by doing affirmations. Here's my theory. This is the whole point of my new book called Transform Your Life Instantly. You use mental erasers to make your mind work for you instead of against you. Because that is the nature of the subconscious mind is this. It's an indiscriminate, non-determinate. It doesn't make any decisions. It has no rationality. It doesn't think, it doesn't say, that's a good belief, I'll take that one on. That's a bad one, I won't take that one. It's just a tape recorder. It's your hard drive. And it records from the minute you're conceived until the day you die. And so rather than fight that curmudgeon or subconscious mind, rather than fight all that programming, just delete the blooming program in whatever area you want to. And the deletion tools are really easy. You can learn to use them yourself whenever something comes up for you. And so I take out anything negative in that money file folder, and then I've got a vacant spot, a new playing field, clean playing field, and then I lay down a new track for prosperity consciousness in my money file folder. And you know what? It takes effect immediately. It is permanent, and if you notice you're slipping back and you recreate some old negative belief, you can delete it again. And it only takes one time. You know, I mean, you might have to do it a second time if a new layer comes up for healing. Delete that one, too. But, I mean, pretty much you're not fighting, you're not battling, you're not constantly doing it, you're not constantly worrying about external stimuli from the world, from mass consciousness, from the universe. You're not even worrying about any of that because you're in control of your thoughts and your programs, even in your subconscious mind. So if I say to myself, there's never enough money, rather than lay a track down over it, there's more than enough money, why would I do that? I just delete first, there's never enough money. And then I create the new track, the new program, there's more than enough money. And there's no doubt, there's no secondary, there's no reservation that, are you crazy? Of course there's not more than enough money. What are you thinking? All your life you've been poor. There's no reasoning. You know, you're not arguing with yourself anymore. You're not arguing with the program in your subconscious mind, and you're not arguing with your rational mind that also believes it to some extent. You're done. That old program is gone. We deleted it out of the subconscious and conscious mind. And it's beautiful.
What would be the steps that our listeners could take to start identifying those negative programs and then delete them?
Okay. All right, I'm going to tell you that. And what I always say is make a list for yourself and just note to yourself and write them down on paper because your mind will move on. And the more things that you delete, and you know, then old things will come up, more layers of it will come up to be deleted too. So always get a little pad and pencil and just keep it beside you. Keep it only for that purpose. And so here's a little trick that you can do. First of all, write down anything you have on the conscious level about money. I'm just not gifted that way. I can't make money. I make it, but I can't keep it. My bosses are always impressed with me and offer me a good salary. They think I'm going far. And within 4 months, they don't like me anymore, and they fire me. I mean, these are just repetitive life experiences, I call them, that happen for people over and over again. So make a note of all those experiences and all those beliefs on a conscious level. And then here's a little game you can play when you get down to the next level of the subconscious mind. It's not that hard to figure out these hidden beliefs that are in the subconscious mind. We used to think it is, but in actuality it isn't. So we just say to ourselves, what kind of a belief might a person have to be experiencing their paycheck not covering their bills? And you write that down. And then you say, and why do you believe that? And you write down that answer. and then you do it again. And what's another belief a person might have to have to not be able to pay their bill? And then you write that down. And then you say, and what's your evidence for that? Why do you believe that? Oh, okay, write that down. And it's kind of like a stream of consciousness. And you keep writing down these answers that your subconscious, and the more, of course, you do it, the more you get in a quasi-trance, and your subconscious is right out of your mouth. Your subconscious beliefs start to come right out of your mouth. Oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that. And before you know it, after you go back and forth with yourself, question, answer, or have somebody else for you to do it, some beautiful little gem, some tasty morsel comes out of your mouth and out of your mind that you never thought was relevant. You forgot that Daddy used to say this all the time. You didn't hook it up with money issues. And when it comes out, you either start laughing or you start crying because you are so heavily impacted. You have tricked the subconscious mind, and you always say the first thing that comes to mind. You don't think about anything. Your subconscious answers, the ones that are buried, are always the first thing that come to mind. And then we start to think about it and we change it. We say people wouldn't like that answer. It couldn't be that easy. It's not true. Forget about all that. We're not thinking. We're feeling like. We're not thinking like. We're out of our left brain. We are feeling these hidden beliefs. And when we get to that underlying juicy core belief, these are all core beliefs, but you get to one that shifts you instantly. Sometimes just realizing it pops it for you, and you and your whole life changes. Sometimes you have to actually go in and do the deletion protocol. It doesn't take that long. And then you remember there's self-worth issues and there's emotional issues about money. Money is an emotionally, heavily, emotionally laden subject for all of us because people are identified, and that's unfortunate. People identify themselves and are labeled and identified with their jobs, with their bank accounts, with their position in society, with how many material things they have, with where they live. You are not your money. You're not your bank account. You're not your job. You're not your looks. You're not your body. You're not your mind. You're not anything that's manifesting in the three-dimensional world. You are a wholly integrated, fully functioning, perfectly made reflection of the Creator. That's what it says, and that's the truth. He is the Creator. He gave us minds that transmit and receive energy frequency waves 24 hours a day that go out into a self-aware, receptive universe and feed that information back to us. Our minds are entwined with each other and the universe. We are creating reality. We can't be blaming God for something we're actually creating in mass consciousness because He didn't do it. He gave us free will and the power to create reality. And then He stepped back and said, here's your planet, here's the beautiful earth, and you have dominion over it. Go to it, guys. You've got a rational brain, you have a creative ability, and you've got the laws written on your heart. And we've kind of dropped the ball. Okay, so when you start to take control, you get all your basic beliefs, you play the game. So what kind of belief was that? What was I just thinking when I did that? I just got an overdraft in my bank account. Here's the letter. So what kind of a belief would a person have to have that they get overdrafts every 2 or 3 months? Write down every belief. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else's beliefs are. It makes a difference whether you believe them or not. And then write down why you believe them. And then you have your list. And then you just start to delete them one by one. And then as soon as you do, and you just do them one by one, you delete, I have overdrafts because I can't manage money and I make a nice paycheck, but I don't know, it just seems to slip through my fingers. Perfect. Take that belief, delete it, and then create, and write this on the paper too until you get used to doing it. You'll get so it's automatic. So then create exactly the opposite belief. I handle money superbly. I can make money go further than anybody I know. I'm really good with money. Whatever you want to create, the words have to feel right to you. I never put words in my client's mouth, not when I'm deleting or rescripting them. I always just use the words they have given me in the intake session and then rescript out of their own words and what they came to accomplish in the therapy session. And it's the same when you're doing therapy for yourself. So that's the process. Delete the old programs, empty out that file folder, put in new programs, life-affirming, life-sustaining, prosperity thinking programs.
That's an amazing process.
It's really easy, honey.
And I like the way you kind of, 'cause
everybody now, especially now that we're on computers, we all know about those file folders that we need to go back and clean out because we have just a bunch of garbage sitting in them.
That's a good point.
Put it in there to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
How did that file folder get there? I don't know.
Exactly.
And you see that when you do these massive backups when you're trying to preserve your data. And you're like, I've got, you know, 188 gigs of crap that I don't even know if I really need. But, you know, no one takes the time to go through that because they're so hurried by life. And I like how you encourage the listeners to write it down. I like the process of writing for me personally is very cathartic. And I know that when I introduce people to journaling and having one journal for their whole life to be integrated, it seems that they never go anywhere without their journal, and they have it, and they can write everything in there and review stuff and make decisions based on the information, and it allows them to think new thoughts. That's the one thing that I love about handwriting stuff versus typing or anything else, is I write it down, it's permanent, it's there, it's on the paper, but now that I got it out of my head, it allows my brain to receive another new thought, either from my subconscious or from the ether, from someone else in the collective subconscious. So thank you so much for being a part of our broadcast today.
You're welcome.
At the end of our time together, what one thing could you leave our listeners with that you feel like would make a difference when they need to dissociate their emotions from their tough financial decision?
Okay, you want to remember that you're creating it all, and you can stop creating it anytime you want to, which means you can stop experiencing it anytime you want to. You never want to make, you never want to let stay attached an emotional response to money, either personally with worthiness or just about money itself, the actual energy form of money. You never want to tie up emotions with it because emotions are not rational, and you make irrational decisions concerning your money. You can't get attached to the stock market into buying and selling of stock. You can't get attached to real estate investing. I made a fortune in the market and in real estate as a real estate broker, but you cannot do it from an emotional viewpoint because emotions are not rational by definition. There's emotions and there's intelligence and rationality, and they're not the same thing. They're entirely different. They're in different segments of the brain. So get, you know, finish up whatever you have to do, and I don't have time to go into that. Finish up whatever emotional stance you're sitting in currently, up to your ears in fear. And remember, while you're afraid you're going to go broke, while you're afraid you're going to lose your house, anything you fear, you're creating. Energy is energy. And you're creating by default out of the all the time out of that subconscious mind, which is negative. And when you fear something, you're creating it. When you worry about it, you're creating it. Energy is energy. So stop worrying and stop fearing because you're creating what you are afraid of. This is right on the back cover of the new book. Just please don't do this, guys. You don't realize it. And nothing has ever been accomplished by worrying about it. It doesn't help the situation at all. It just stresses the body-mind system and shuts down the immune system and keeps the rational mind from getting you out of the situation.
Yes, one
so
of my
stay rational.
Is The Spanish Prisoner, where the attorney guy, he has all these great quotes he always says, and he says that worry is interest paid on a note that never comes due.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
One of my
most of the stuff we worry about never happens. It's called catastrophizing. It's borrowing trouble from the future. You imagine, you pretend you're a mind reader, and your mind runs away with you and imagines you're going to lose your house and imagines that you're never going to learn how to handle money or that you're never going to get a job again. None of that is true. You're just projecting out into the future. You know what? This is a loving creator. This is a loving universe, and it only wants the best, the highest and best for every soul on the planet. Whether they're sentient souls or whether they're animal souls, plant souls. You know, it just wants the highest and best. That's the way it was constructed. So, you know, we just have to leave anything other than the goal we're trying to get to.
Great. Well, thanks again for taking time out of your Saturday to be a part of our broadcast. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We have Keys for Teens coming up right after this.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, KINESISIndustries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki, all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
If I were a rich man,
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone.
If I were a wealthy
man, you're listening to Heather Wagonhaws on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm Heather, your hostess with Financial Mostest. What an incredible guest you had in a gal. If you would like more information, you can visit our website, www.unlockyourwealth.com, and click through to her website from our show page. Or you can visit her website directly at thelifemanagementcenter.com. Thelifemanagementcenter.com. Now, it's the moment you've all been waiting for, our Keys to Riches segment. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And today's key is take emotion out of the picture. And just as our guest illustrated to us, emotions wreak havoc on our system. They dump a ton of chemicals into our body when we start reacting emotionally to things, and in the form of hormones, and it starts to upset the apple cart, and our cortisol levels raise, and we get stressed out. And it was great when we lived in the dinosaur age because we had to run and forage for food, and we had ways to get rid of all of that excess stress and emotion, but the society that we've evolved into is pretty much a lazy one. We don't even roll down our windows in our cars. We push a button, and then they go down automatically. So given that we have every modern convenience in our lives, when the emotions in our system take over and they start dumping all kinds of hormones into our system, we're not letting go of them effectively. Nobody goes to work out very rarely anymore. Nobody is out there lifting weights or on a punching bag. And so this stress just continually builds. And when we get those high hormone levels, just like Adele said, it shuts down our decision-making centers in our brain, and it doesn't allow us to be effective when we make a decision. And that's why this key is so important, because just like she said, you can have everything perfect in your life. You can master the credit game. You can write the best Dreams with Deadlines program. You can design and break your budget in our upcoming key and create the most healthy savings and spending plan. But if you're behaving emotionally, your decision-making center in your brain isn't even going to have a chance to work and be efficient to stick to that. And we create, not on our own, but through others, we're influenced our belief system, and we've created this, and it manifests as we grow up. And when we become adults, we can only make decisions based on our belief systems, because we don't do things that are not congruent with our belief system. So if we say that, yeah, we want to be rich and we want to manage money, but if our belief system says, no, who are you kidding? You're only poor. You'll never be anything. You grew up poor. You're always going to be poor. Your family's never had enough, and you're not going to have enough either, and you're going to be in conflict. Okay? We're also going to be in conflict because sometimes we just work so hard and we're exhausted from the efforts that we've put forth in working. And whether that's working to care for our kids, working to provide meals on the table, working for our financial betterment, and we get exhausted. And then we are bombarded by all kinds of information from the media and from our friends and family telling us that we need this or we deserve that. And so we cave in and we allow our emotions to make our decisions for us. And that's the worst thing that we can do, because what happens when we do that is it becomes ineffective. Now, one of the famous phrases my father always said, and it sticks with me today, was that, you know, he's like, I can balance a multimillion-dollar budget for my company, but I can't balance my own checkbook. And it's because he was emotionally tied to that money he made. And we want to keep our passions in perspective. We want to be super excited about jumping into the workforce, being ambitious, following our passions. If we like to paint, be a famous painter. If we like to help people, you know, achieve home ownership, we go be real estate agents. If we love working on cars, we get a job at, you know, an auto repair center or a car dealership or an auto manufacturer because we love cars. And we want to be excited and ambitious and passionate and enthusiastic about our work, because that releases all kind of good hormones that keeps us going when we get that kind of emotionally excited. But when it comes time to make decisions about our money, we want to be factual about it. And what happens is most of our buying decisions are made on emotion. We buy something on emotion and we justify with facts later. And we need to not do that. We want to make decisions based on the facts, and because it was a quality decision, then be excited. Now, I don't want to go too much further into the keys without bringing on Alyssa, who is going to help us talk about our Keys for Teens segment, and she has her own take and opinion about this. Alyssa, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
I'm great. It's a bittersweet day here because your grandpa's mentor passed away, so we're struggling
with that. Oh,
I heard. But other than that, we've had some great information from our guests on the show, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. The keys for me are coming along quite nicely. This week's key sounds easy, but I don't know exactly how I'm going to be able to implement it. Taking emotion out of the picture seems like an all-or-nothing deal. If I don't get excited about goals and things and be excited when I go shopping, what is the point?
Well, see, that's exactly what I mean by keeping your passions in perspective. Okay. We want to be passionate and excited about work and about generating income and following our dreams. And I know you're going off to school to become a doctor. And you want to be excited about that, and you want to be focused and driven and ambitious, but we also want to make sure that we temper that emotional side when it comes to buying decisions, because that's where we get into trouble. You know, I mean, sure, it would be nice if we had the car that had the butt chillers and the butt warmers for the different seasons, and that it had the massager and the chair, and that it almost drove itself, but if our wallet says that's not in our budget, we need to honor that and say, someday down the road I can have this great, fabulous car that does all these cool things. But for today, I need to be realistic, and today I'm making a decision because I need transportation, not because I want all these cool bells and whistles in my car. And so we have to be passionate, but we need to do that in a way that is effective for us. And so we channel that by keeping our passions in perspective, and that will guide us to make better decisions. Just like I referenced my father, you know, he could manage a budget for his company like there was no tomorrow. He was so good that they moved him around the country to the plants that were ailing facilities, and he was always the turnaround guy because he could go in there and slash spending and increase production and sales and things like that. But then when it came to his own wallet, he was destined for trouble because he was so emotional because he worked so hard, so he felt entitled to have that one extra thing, that new tool or something, even though there wasn't any real reason for him to have it or a valid reason that would justify that larger expenditure that was outside any disposable income or necessary income expenditures. So if that makes sense, you've got to say, okay, be excited about making money, but be cautious when spending it. Does that make sense?
Oh, so passions in perspective. Got it. Not all or nothing. Let me see if I understand this. I can be excited about achieving and accomplishing goals and objectives, but when it comes to frivolous items or items higher than my discretionary spending allows, I need to evaluate on the facts only and take emotion out of the decision-making process then?
Yes. It's all about being able to take a step back. As you heard from our previous guest, Adele, she says that when you get emotional, you cannot make a decision. You need to walk away and cool off and dissociate yourself from that emotion. And that includes shopping experiences. You try on this dress. You're like, wow, it looks so great. And it fits nice, and it makes my legs look slim, and the color makes my skin look tan, and you know, oh, the price tag isn't on it. So you go up to the sales clerk and say, she goes, oh, well, that dress is only $50 million, more than what you have in your wallet. And you're like, holy cow, and you really want it, and you're now starting to hear the commercials and the advertising and the media, and your friend's telling me, oh, but you should just do it, pull the trigger, get that, man. And you're just like, wait a minute, now you've got your body starting to dump all of these hormones into your system, and you're clouding your ability to make a rational decision. So you need to just say, okay, can I put this on hold and let me think about it and walk away from the situation and really evaluate. Now, my discretionary spending said I had $100 for a dress, but this dress is like three times that or five times that or whatever the price may be, and it's outside of my discretionary spending. And I also wanted a couple other things that I wanted to get in my discretionary spending. So now I have a decision to make. And am I buying this dress for the right reason? And you got to be able to distance yourself from that. So is that something that's in the realm of your possibility?
Yeah, well, I definitely think I can do that.
Awesome. And it's tough at first, you know, because I know when I went off to college and I made a lot of mistakes because I was very envious of the people that were born with money and, you know, their parents were paying for college. I had to work. I had to pay for my own college. And they had cool cars and the neatest clothes and the greatest handbags and all of that stuff. And I wanted that for myself, too. And so I said, well, I shouldn't have to be without. You know, what makes them any better than me? Well, circumstance, being part of the Lucky Sperm Club, made them financially in a different position than me. Didn't make them better than me, But I made the mistake of going out and getting all of those things, and before I knew it, I had $40,000 worth of debt as a college student. I couldn't work enough hours to make enough money to pay for everything that I got in trouble with. And so it's good that this makes sense to you.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Well, thanks so much for joining us again, and I will let you get back to the rest of your weekend because I know you only have a couple more left before you're off on your own.
I know. I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Heather.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for joining the broadcast. So this is really important, okay, because life is all about emotional experience and good, bad, or indifferent, and we want the good experiences, but sometimes we have some not-so-good experiences and that wreak havoc with our systems. And when we're having those times, those moments, that's when we need to not be making decisions financially. We need to say, wait a minute, I need to take a step back and calm down or cool off. I'll give you another example real quick about patterning. And I had a friend that every time she fought with her husband, she went to the store and blew a couple grand shopping. And this was, she just said, I don't know, that's just what I do. That's what you do when you fight with your husband. And she was always perpetually indebted to someone for something. And that was a pattern that she had no control over installing. Keyword, she had no control over installing it. She did have control over changing that belief system. But her mother, when she would fight with her father, would go and pack up the girls, and off to the mall they would go and blow a ton of cash. Well, the difference is she is not rich. Her mother was wealthy. Her parents had an abundance of money, so it didn't make a dent in the family budget when they went out and blew cash. And that's exactly what they were doing. She, however, was blowing credit and just digging this deep financial hole that she wasn't able to unbury herself from. So when we have patterns like that, that we're like, well, this is just what I do, this is what Adele is talking about with this cathartic experience, and to get out some mental erasers, pull out a journal, and start making a list to start working on these things. Now, this week's nuts and bolts is for our key statement, I know that many decisions I am faced with are either by choice or circumstance, and I know that we buy on emotion and justify with facts later. So I must find the strength to step back and take emotion out of the picture before I make my decision. That's important. That's our key statement. I must take a step back and make sure that I take emotion out of the picture before making that decision. So our key affirmation for this week is, I am great at keeping my passions in perspective. I am great at keeping my passions in perspective. Now, for our key action item, we are going to grab a journal and we are going to start asking ourselves these important questions. What do I believe about money? And why do I believe that? What information do I have to support that? And keep digging and digging until you find the underlying cause of that particular decision-making process. Once we do that, we can then work to erase those programs. For those of you who are not currently a subscriber to the e-zine but are interested in getting today's show notes, which will have the process that Adele identified in her interview, please simply send us an email at ezine@unlockyourwealth.com, ezine@unlockyourwealth.com. And you'll be able to receive this week's copy of show notes. And just so you know, we've taken the next step, and our website has been redesigned, and we are in the process of creating this unbelievable membership platform for you. Best of all, the membership platform, the Freedom Series, is guess what? Free. So you'll want to be a part of that. So surf on over to our website at unlockyourwealth.com and sign up for the membership section so you will be the first to be notified when we launch our new program. And inside the membership platform, we are going to have all of the show notes. You will have the opportunity to download previous episodes. And by becoming a member of the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, you will also be able to receive a discount in our bookstore on supplies and tools and downloads for you to help you and your family build financial independence and lay that foundation. So again, I want to review our key affirmation is I am great at keeping my passions in perspective and making financial decisions. Thanks so much for joining us this week. And again, my best to Al Ecker's family. Thank you so much for blessing my husband's life as you did. We'll see you all on Wednesday for the midweek update.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.